This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Here's Kobe to the rim. Got it. Right side off the window. Count it. And a foul. And the Eastern Conference Player of the Month has scored again in 33 minutes. He's got 24.
I might swerve in that corner. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Chuck Swirsky, play-by-play man of the Chicago Bulls. Chuck Swirsky, dancer, singer, sports fan. Joel Bag of Donuts. He is more than meets the eye, and we're going to talk to him here in just a second. I'm Mark Grody on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I get to be here with you until 9 o'clock tonight, and the Bulls, take a deep breath here. The Bulls host Portland on Friday at 7. The Bulls currently 34-42, 10th place in the Eastern Conference. They have clinched a play-in berth for the third straight season. Last two seasons, they were bounced during that play-in, so hopefully there's more to it, but six games to go, and that said, let's bring in our guy, Chuck Swirsky. This segment with Chuck Swirsky is sponsored by Great Lakes Credit Union. Chuck, how are you, my friend? Welcome back to The Score.
Well, thank you. I'm having a very exciting night watching Charlotte and Indiana, but you know what, Mark? It's all good. Because I just want to go on the record, Joe Bag of Donuts endorses the pitching ninja.
Well, that's good because...
At least somebody in this market does.
Chuck, if you didn't, then you'd have to apologize. One cannot disrespect the pitching ninja. You must get down on your knee and apologize to the world and during the broadcast. So be careful, Chuck. Or Joe, excuse me, Joe Bag.
That, I'm just saying, I think Rob does a great job with his, you know, unbelievable mind of putting numbers together. And he, you know, just analyzes everything. And he's just unbelievable, and I total respect to the pitching ninja.
Yeah, okay, I've got you down. I've got you. The Joe Bag of Donuts has a fit. Did you get that, Tyler? Write that down. Joe Bag of Donuts has made the endorsement. That is what has occurred, and you never know what direction we're going to come from here. Chuck, guess what? I was just looking at a text message from our boss, one of our bosses, Ryan Porth. Says that tomorrow at 1 o'clock at 1 p.m., Kobe White will join Marshall and Layla. What do you think about that?
Very nice.
Yeah.
I think it's great. I love Kobe.
He's been pretty good, man. I mean, we just heard you coming in from that. I know you and I just talked about Kobe White a little while ago, but it's really fun. Here's the best part about it. And, you know, I was asking about, you know, is he actually a star? Maybe he is what he is, a guy that gets really hot at certain times during the season. But what's awesome to see is an athlete that develops. There's so many times, Chuck, in all the sports that you and I have covered where you just see a guy after 4 or 5 years, he's either it or he's not. It seems like, you know, you're on to the next level or you're out. It's just good to see a guy actually develop and get better, and it seems like that's what the trajectory continues to be for Coby White, and that is pointing up.
Yes, no question. I mean, you take a look at when he arrived in the NBA, people were trying to define him as a point guard. Is he an off guard? Let me tell you what, Coby White is a basketball player. I love his heart. I love his demeanor. He has become a leader on this ball club. He is a communicator, and he has taken his game now to an elite level. And everything you want in a basketball player and as a human being, this kid has it. He's still a young man. He's 25. So I think he's got an incredible journey left in him, and hopefully he can spend his entire career with the Bulls, because I just like his makeup and what he brings each and every night to this organization.
No doubt, yeah, and you called the coming back a couple of his 28 points last night during what was a win over Toronto, 137-118, heard right here on 670 The Score. Coby White at 28, and Josh Giddey keeps doing it, putting together, stuffing the box score, as we say, 17 points, 7 rebounds, and 12 assists. It's nice to see the development of this kid from the beginning of the season up until now.
Well, it's great to see the two playing off one another.
Yeah.
And what Giddey is doing, especially as a downhill driver to the rim, going to the free throw line. So when you look at the big picture of things, I think the backcourt is in pretty good shape. And I don't know, this is way above my pay grade, but what happens to Trey Jones when he's a free agent, mm-hmm. and hopefully he'll be back before the end of the season or the play-in tournament. But, I mean, you've got Ayo Dosunmu, you have Trey Jones. I mean, you've got a lot of really good players, and you never have enough depth. But the way that Giddey has really come on after the All-Star break and what's happened to Coby this year, I think is one of the true great stories in Bulls franchise for the 25 season and beyond. And I just love the fact that this new system they implemented in the offseason to shoot more threes, to run the floor, and the players have bought in.
Yeah, that's the most important part. So it's nice when you start to see some success towards the end of the season. We'll find out if it's actually real. Talen Horton-Tucker, Chicago's very own, 27, off the bench last night. Love watching him out on the court, whether it's live or on television. I imagine that he's a pretty cool guy to talk to, Chuck. What do you make of him and your conversations with him and what he's all about?
Well, you know what? He's kind of quiet and soft-spoken. I mean, really, honestly, Mark, as you know, you've covered pro sports. I'm not really around the players 24/7. I go to shoot around. I'll have conversation with a few. I'll see him maybe once or twice in a hotel lobby, if that. I'll see him in the locker room. But basically, this is a professional relationship that I have with the players. So when you ask, you know, what type of guy is, he's been great. All the players are really great to me from a professional standpoint. And so you look at Talen, who came in last night and just lit it up. He was our postgame guest. He was really, really good. And he just talked about his role. And when he goes to the United Center, some days he won't play. Some days he gets 3 minutes. Some days he gets close to 30 minutes. And that's the sign of a true pro, when you know that no matter when your number's called, you're going to be ready. And when I say your number's going to be ready, what does that mean? That means you're locked into the game, that your mind isn't taking you to row 4 in section 110. That, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, these guys are human.
I know.
But
I know.
Mean, when you're a role player, you want to study the opposition, because when you get in the game, you better know, okay, you know, this player is going to his left. This player does head and shoulder fake. This player runs pick and roll to, you know, the left point. All these things that the role players have a chance to really digest before they go on the floor.
Chuck, let's talk about what's coming up here, because like Bulls have a postseason to think about. Right now they have, as I said, they've clinched a play-in spot. Then the Bulls host Portland on Friday. How you feeling with six games to go in terms of maybe even improving their position and not having to play this flip-a-coin 50-50 game that the Bulls unfortunately have lost in each of the last 2 years?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the bottom line is this. I mean, you got games to play, and you can't take that mindset into saying, okay, well, Philly is going to play no one in the last game of the season. You got Portland coming in, third game in four nights, second game of a back-to-back. And then, you know, you go on the road, Charlotte has completely shut it down. and then Cleveland, and who knows if the Cavaliers are going to rest players, because by that time, will they increase their lead over Boston, where they mathematically have clinched the East? Or are they still neck and neck with Oklahoma City for the best record in the NBA, which means that if the two teams meet in the NBA Finals, if the Cavaliers have a better record, they will have home court advantage for that key game seven. But I think you just got to play the games, see where you're at, and then hopefully the Bulls can get the ninth spot, maybe, although time's running out, Mark.
Yeah.
Maybe the eighth spot, but definitely number nine.
Yeah, just enjoy it while the ride is happening. Yeah, the Bulls, as Chuck said, they host Portland on Friday, at Charlotte, at Cleveland, then again at Miami and Washington, at home, at Philadelphia, and then that's it. So we'll see where the Bulls end up at the end of all of this, in this, you know, season that has become a little bit more encouraging than we thought it would be towards the end of this season. But I guess that's what we kind of expected, Chuck. I don't know what – I mean, I think I know what the expectations were this year. It's the Bulls are in the midst of a rebuild and developing players. And so in some ways, no matter what happens, there will be some – as rugged as it's been at times, there will have been some positives to come out of this thing.
No question, Mark. I mean, listen, I don't know what the future holds regarding this play-in tournament. Last year, they were able to beat Atlanta. They lost to Miami. They gave up a ton of points in the first quarter. They tried to make a comeback, but they came up short. The year before, they really gave Miami everything. And then the last probably 4 or 5 minutes of the game, it kind of got away. But nonetheless, they were in that ball game for a long time.
Yeah.
So now you get a situation where they may face Miami again. If not, maybe Atlanta or Orlando in that three-team mix they're in. And when you look at it, you want young players to go through that fire and that intensity, because it does change, as you know, from a regular season game. But there are a lot of positives to take out of this season. The growth and development, and how Billy Donovan, you know, coached Mattis Buzelis, I think, is one of the great stories this year for Bulls fans, is that, you know, he just didn't give Buzelis time and said, hey, I know you're the 11th pick, go ahead and go play 20 minutes. He had to earn those minutes, and he earns those minutes because it sends a message to every player that, you know what, force me to play you. You know, when you're on the floor, you know what, do something impactful. And that doesn't necessarily mean, hey, I got 8 points in 7 minutes. That means, you know what, when you're on the floor, are you efficient? Are you efficient not only with the ball, mm-hmm. but also on defense? Are you playing off the ball so you can, you know, receive a pass in an area where you can do something with the ball? All these things go into the maturation of players, and I love the job Billy Donovan has done with this team. I think this is one of the better coaching jobs of his career. And yes, he's under 500, but I mean, if you take a look at how these players have grown in a brand new system, I think it's fantastic.
And he seems to love it, Chuck. Am I wrong? I mean, he seems to like, of course, he'd probably love to have five guys that were great on the roster. He seems to like this part of it.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know what? This guy was really born to coach. He was born to coach when he was in high school, to be quite candid with you, Mark. I mean, he led Providence to the Final Four under Rick Pitino, and it was a great Cinderella story. But the truth of the matter is, Billy Donovan was born to coach, and the impact that he's had on so many young lives, and all you have to do is talk to his Florida players, especially Joakim Noah, who just loves the man. And the thing is, Mark, this weekend, and there are going to be some leaks now between now and Saturday. And there was one today with Carmelo Anthony headed to the Hall of Fame, the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. Billy Donovan is a finalist for this.
Yeah.
And he should have been already in the Hall of Fame. I think he's going in.
Okay.
I'd be extremely upset if he didn't go.
Wow. Oh, that'd be big. That'd be big. Yeah, yep. I mean, he's a lifer. Not just a lifer, but as you said, he's been hyper successful seemingly everywhere that he's gone. He has made some sort of impact. So that's legit. Well, we'll keep our ears open for Billy Donovan potentially getting the nod to the Hall of Fame. A Hall of Fame that Chuck Swirsky – well, no, Chuck, you have your own Hall of Fame. How many people are in the Chuck Swirsky Hall of Fame these days, by the way? Is anybody keeping track of it for you? Is Rich Wyatt keeping track of that, the Hall of Famers? Or Alyssa Bergamini? Who writes that down?
You know what, Mark? Honestly, and I'm just being genuine about this, and I want to show a great deal of humility and gratitude. I've been so blessed. I'm actually in four Halls of Fame.
Wow. Wow.
And you know what? And I probably don't deserve any of them, but the truth of the matter is I'm proud is not the word, because that comes across in a narcissistic way. I'm just very, very grateful and humble that people – you know, whoever, you know, deals with those things found a space in their own space to include me in their hall. So,
well, you have humbled me, because I'm only in one Hall of Fame at Illinois State University.
Yes, that's a great Hall of Fame.
It is a great, and I am so proud of it, and I love ISU. But now you need to tell me about your, and I know this is going to make you uncomfortable and squirm a little bit. I do want you to tell me what Halls of Fame you are in, because I didn't know you had the four-pack.
Well, let's see. The Chicagoland Sports Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's good. That's legit.
Yes, it is. I mean, I was ecstatic when I learned that I was headed into the hall, because you think of all the players and the coaches and the broadcasters and the media that have been in this great city for decade after decade, and to have just my name attached to that is unbelievable. And then I'm in the WGN Walk of Fame.
Ah, that's pretty cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very, very nice. And then there's the Illinois Basketball Coaches Hall of Fame.
Oh, wow.
And that's great, because I have the utmost respect for all coaches at all levels, just not obviously the NBA and college at the division level, but also junior colleges, high schools. You know, you can go right down the list, even young people who are coached by their parents, you know, at the age of, you know, 7, 8, 9 years old. And the fourth and final one, of course, is the National Bobblehead Hall of Fame.
That's awesome, man.
I love that one.
That is great. That is. Now, is there some sort of bobblehead convention that you go to, or like reunion with all the guys every year, your fellow bobblehead award winners?
Well, you know what? That's an excellent question. I've got to ask the Bobblehead Hall of Fame, because, you know, I had two bobbleheads in Toronto, and I have one here in Chicago, but I want to give you a heads up. A second one is coming out next season.
What? Wow. Oh, yeah. Now, will it be a similar design and concept as the first one, that it with the talking and everything, or is that just the grabber
one? Yeah,
one,
Mark, this isn't going to talk. But, you know, after I do a dance, I'm not actually with the motor and the battery. I won't be dancing, but I'll be in the John Travolta with the index finger up, and, you know, like the Saturday Night Fever look.
I hope you're being serious. I really do.
I am.
Oh, that's awesome. That is fantastic. So you're going to be doing the Saturday Night Fever John Travolta pose for your bobblehead next year.
That's correct.
Have you spoken about this? Did you just break this news here, Chuck?
I probably broke it, and I hope I'm not in trouble, but there you go, Mark.
Thanks, man. See, you dig. This segment with Chuck Swirsky, it's sponsored by Great Lakes Credit Union. Chuck, before I let you go, I do have to see if Joe Bag of Donuts is around, because I just want to know what Joe Bag of Donuts thinks about the conversation reopening that is becoming, it feels like it's becoming more and more likely that the Bears could end up in Arlington Heights as opposed to along the lakefront. Does Joe Bag of Donuts have a have an opinion on that?
Wow, yeah, you really want to go there?
I do. I have figured out the right question. Joe Bag of Donuts, the stage is your. I went there. Now we can't not go there, Joe.
Okay, well, I'm going to be politically correct, and normally I don't like to be politically correct, but in this case, I'm a Chicago guy. Okay, I want to see the Bears in Chicago, but it is if it's not financially feasible for everyone, including the taxpayers or including everyone involved. If it's not right, I think they should play football in Arlington Heights. I think they've got the infrastructure. They've got everything going for themselves. And so if they move to Arlington Heights, I'll be the first one to congratulate the Bears to get a new facility and go for it.
Okay. All right. I'm a little surprised that Joe was not more downtown, but I get it, man. You're watching out for the people. If Joe Bag of Donuts is not a man of the people, then what is he, right?
Yes. Well, I mean, you know, I like my job a lot, and I'm, you know, there's a point where you can't cross that line.
I know.
And I'm not about to cross it.
I know. I got you. I'm just glad that you broke the bobblehead news on this show. That means a ton to me, Chuck. You are the best. Thank you for coming on. We appreciate it. And you know that anytime I'm on, even if you're not necessarily scheduled for the show, if you are moved and Joe Bag of Donuts has something that he'd like to say, you know I want to hear it.
I appreciate that. And, you know, Mark, I know you're locked in with your show and your listeners and whatnot. I just want to let you know the most important stat of the day. Pacers lead the Hornets 66-56 with 7:55 to go in the third. Good night.
Good night, Chuck. There goes Chuck Swirsky. That's how you know. That's a gym rat right there. That's how you get into four halls of fame, by watching the Indiana-Charlotte game on a Wednesday night, man. He could be watching Netflix or something more entertaining, right? He could be flailing about downtown Chicago, right? He could be hanging out at bars, smoking cigarettes, right? The whole thing. But no, he's at home watching the Indiana-Charlotte game. But he's right about, when you look at the Bulls, Portland doesn't, they're 33-43, so that's a very winnable game again Friday against Portland. And then Charlotte, not interested sign. We'll see if Cleveland is interested by then, because they're at Charlotte, at Cleveland. Then they have the home games against Miami, Washington, and then they finish the season at Philadelphia. I think it's just going to be the play-in tournament for the Bulls, and maybe that's just me not wanting to get the expectations up too high, but it does still feel like that despite the winnable game. Because the thing about the Bulls is that they are still wholly unpredictable. They have that great comeback where Josh Giddey hits the half-court shot at the end, and then in the next game, they didn't lay an egg against Dallas. I think it was a one-point loss, but it was just them catching up at the end. It was like, oh, man, there was no encore to the enthusiast. I was actually at the game, at the Dallas game. It was just a little, because that was the game after the game, and everybody's pumped up. Everybody's at a 10, and then womp, womp. So that's why I think it's going to be play-in tournament. It's been fun to watch, and I'm here for whatever ride the Bulls want to take us on, but let's be realistic about it and enjoy what Coby White and Josh Giddey and Montas Bezelis and Vucevic, man. Vucevic still putting up no. Vuce is still here. Vucevic, 10 rebounds and 7 assists last night in that, was that last night? Yeah, it was. Bulls 137-118 win over Toronto. Got to take a break here. I'm Mark Grody, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
I love you!
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40. period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to more Mark Crony.
I called you the khaki pants at the score. Versatile, valuable, wrinkle-free.
On Sports Radio 670, The Score.
What is up? I am Mark Grody. I am here with you until 9 o'clock on The Score. Got the text machine back up and running. Whew, thank God. Don't want to miss out on this. See, it was because I was talking about Seiya Suzuki earlier. 5 RBI night, couple of home runs, and one person says, wow, you are really being a hater tonight. No one expected Seiya to be Ohtani, did they? Seiya was number 18 in Major League Baseball in OPS last year. And what other big leaguers are... Okay, that's a separate text. But I'll just address that. God, it sure didn't feel like it with Seiya Suzuki. I don't know. There's just something that didn't feel like those numbers last year. And there was a... Yeah, another guy. Seiya was 18th in OPS, 19th in batting average in 2024. Highest ranked Cub, cheap free agent. That's a good call right there. Know your stuff, he says. I'm sorry. This is one case where if you watch the games, you know that it doesn't feel right all the time with Seiya Suzuki on a consistent basis. And you're right. To some degree, I should lower probably based on, you know, like affordable free agent. And what exactly was I expecting him to be, a superstar? So I'll agree with you on that. But I definitely appreciate the text. The other one was... because I was talking about how I'm sure that the Cubs probably look around in Sacramento playing against the A's and probably look around and are like, oh man, this is ridiculous, and probably make fun of it and all that kind of stuff. let's see, where did that one start? Oh yeah, the Cubs are the only, let's see here. What other big leaguers are making fun of the athletic situation? The Cubs are the only ones who have played there. I hope you don't have any animals to kick when you get home. What the hell was that? I don't even understand that. I think that was just mean, man. I think that that's what that was. God. Woof. Man, why would I kick? And the fact that the texter has that on their mind, and I guarantee you every single player in Major League Baseball texter has had an opinion about the A's playing in Sacramento. I promise you that is the case. Please never text The Score again. I'm not gonna block you because there's too many people that are blocked. Blocking is nonsense, but stop being a jag. That's what I will say to you. What else do I have? Oh yeah, Bears. Let us center ourselves with some Bears. We played the Ben Johnson cuts a little bit earlier about Caleb Williams and undoing bad habits. And we also talked about expected points added, EPA, with Ben Johnson. There were a couple of cuts or things that Ryan Pohl said that are interesting and continue to be interesting. And that is the left tackle position for the Bears, who right now have Braxton Jones there on the depth chart. That would be Braxton Jones. He is your left tackle, the former fifth-round pick by Ryan Poles, who basically slid right into left tackle in his rookie year and has been playing that position ever since. Now, Ryan Poles did say today to reporters in Florida at the owners' meeting that he will be limited in camp, and that he's also indicated that there will be competition at left tackle, and that there is always the possibility that they draft a tackle in the first round or somewhere. All of that in mind, here is Ryan Poles.
Yeah, and then you throw, you know, Kron in the mix, who, you know, not only do I still think, you know, highly of him, especially going back and just watching, you know, the Washington game, there's a lot of signs of him being successful, especially the tackle position. But then he also went through a tough spot, which was, you know, the way it was set up was unfortunate. Minnesota wasn't a great outing for him. So, but there's only a very small sample size there. I know that competition is going to, you know, make the best of both those guys. So weighing that, as well as just who's best available in the draft. So it's all a part of it. It makes it a little complicated when now you're talking about kind of three deep in that space. But I think it makes us really ask tough questions when we're watching specifically like a left tackle, like, is this guy going to make us better in year one, year two, year three? How do we feel about our guys? Especially in a case where, you know, Dan and Kyle and Declan really haven't had time with either one of their tackles. So there's a lot to work through, but I'm confident that when we sit down and kind of talk through it and look at the guys in this year's draft, and plus we've got to see how it plays out too. There could be, you know, if we have two, three guys that we think are in that spot, they may not be there at 10 either. So we'll be ready for all the different situations that can pop up.
The Kron Amagaji part of this is interesting, because when they did draft him in the third round, and I remember being out at Halas Hall, and as Ryan Poles does, after everything is said and done, he comes out and speaks to the core media, and he, you know, obviously he was very happy with Kron Amagaji, but what he said was that it would be this year, probably, ideally, that he would be competing potentially for a, you know, left tackle. Like, that's the ideal, that he's the backup. Now, he was put in a position to play last year. It mostly didn't look good in the couple of times that he got on the field, but he is a third round pick, and you just hope that he'll have a full training camp, that he'll be ready to go and compete, and that we find out legitimately what Kron Amagaji is all about. And then there's the part where, yeah, three deep, Drew Dahlman is here, Joe Tooney is here, Jonah Jackson is here. You want to keep going? You want to keep using your big, valuable assets along the offensive line? Go for it. And I think that that's what Ryan Poles is kind of telling you, what you're probably thinking, and that's, hey, I would never rule out drafting an offensive lineman in the first round. I would never rule out drafting that guy with the number 10, or that position with the number 10 overall pick. That would be silly. So I do think that there's some things, like, they obviously are farther along in this than you and I are in terms of the way their draft board is, and, you know, having probably gone through their own mock drafts and ideas of who they might already be drafting. I mean, all that stuff is real, but that doesn't see the light of day, unless somebody wants it to see the light of day, which would probably happen as we get closer to the draft. But we are getting closer to the draft. That is for sure. But that is the left tackle spot will certainly be a fun one, or an interesting one to watch once we get going with the OTAs and the mini camps and the rookie camps, and then it eventually leads into training camp, and then we are on to yet another Bear season. By the way, we're going to talk to Scott Bear of the Marquee Sports Network. He's a Bears insider. He's been at the owners' meeting, so we'll talk to We'll kick it around with Scott Bear, talk about what's happening with the Bears and some of his observations from what's going on in Florida and the owners' meetings. Let's hear one more cut from Ryan Poles. And I believe this was a question. Yeah, it was my Take the North partner, Dan Weederer. We call him Weedsy. Weedsy was asking about essentially accountability and discipline and all those kinds of things. And I think it was asked from the player's perspective, as in, how does that look in terms of being an adult in the room around the Bears players?
Ryan, there was so much talk last season and coming out of last season about the accountability piece of things. What does that need to look like going forward, and how will Ben enforce it? It sounds like there's confidence that his ability to get that will be something that he brings to the table.
Yeah, I think it's just being able to call out, you know, the things that aren't up to standard right there in the moment, man-to-man, and sometimes it's in a group setting. Like, this is how we want it, and you address it immediately. So I think that that is something that Ben's going to be really good at, and we'll do that together across kind of all spaces of football. And it's something, you know, we've talked about a lot, and I feel confident that the guys are going to feel that when they
get
back.
Along with that, you talked about leaders needing to learn how to lead, and you obviously have the eight captains last year. What are you looking for from that standpoint of things, of teaching guys how to be those forefront leaders?
Yeah, the beautiful thing with our setup now, especially, you know, the way the trades and free agency worked out, when you have a guy like Joe in the building, he's done it for a long time. When you have someone like Grady Jarrett, he's done it for a long time. That is an added bonus of bringing those guys in, because they can show them how to do it. And I always think it's important that in order to do that and lead, you also have to be taking care of business on the field and still be productive, because I've seen situations where there's older guys who aren't really in their prime, and they're not, you know, they're almost in survival mode, just trying to finish out their career. And it just doesn't hold as much weight. So when there's guys that are actually playing at a high level and they've won a bunch of games and they're addressing certain things, I think it's just weighted heavier, and the guys follow and will listen to that.
It is quality over quantity, I would say, after there being I don't remember any of the eight, though, that they had last year where you're like, no, that guy shouldn't be a captain. But sometimes when the quantity is too high, you don't really get down to the center point. So, yeah, Joe Tooney and Dahlman and Jonah Jackson, all those guys. I also just realized, too, hearing him, he mentioned Grady Jarrett. This is going to be the Grady Jarrett training camp. I could already see it. It just in a lot of ways. Like, probably mostly with the microphones. I mean, you guys all heard Grady Jarrett during his introductory press conference. I mean, he's at a 10. You know what I mean? Like, personality-wise and just the energy that he brings. Too bad the Hard Knocks people weren't around to get a load of Grady Jarrett. I don't know. Maybe was Atlanta ever on it when he was there? I don't know. He would have been a very good participant to it. But I just have a feeling, aside from Hard Knocks, that this it's going to be very, oh yeah, we're all going to gather around Grady Jarrett every chance we get. And we probably should, because he seems like a fascinating personality. We're going to talk more Bears coming up at the top of the hour with our friend Scott Bear from the Marquee Sports Network. And we'll check out some of your text messages, and we'll take a call too if you'd like, at 312-644-6767. We've got that window right now before we go back into heavy Bears mode on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Here's Kyle Tucker, reached on a walk in the first. Righty-lefty matchup, Severino deals. Tucker swings, hits a high fly ball, deep right field. Forget about it! Long gone! Kyle Tucker has done it. For the first time in his career, he has hit a home run in four consecutive ball games. And the Cubs go up 4-2 here in the third.
It's looking good. The Kyle Tucker swing looks nice. Four home runs in his first eight games of his Cubs career. Zach Zaidman with a call right here on The Score. I am Mark Grody with you until 9. We're going to talk to Scott Bear of the Marquee Sports Network, talking Bears with him at the top of the hour, 8 o'clock. Cubs won today, 10-2, the final score. Kyle Tucker did not homer today, though. Seiya Suzuki did. He was awesome. Five RBIs, hit a couple home runs, another back-to-back games with 3-run shots. He's looking dialed in just in the nick of time, too, for Seiya Suzuki. But, yeah, Kyle Tucker did not homer today, so the streak ends. As I said earlier, just so important that he has gotten off, that he is getting hot right now just based on his spring and the expectation and what he represents to in terms of he's your superstar, but it feels like he's got one foot out the door. You just can't call it yet with Kyle Tucker. But I was watching the Cubs post game last night on Marquee. So shout out to them for this, as they had up on the screen the other Cubs players who hit 4 home runs in their first 8 games, not just Kyle Tucker. There were other guys. So, yes, Kyle did it in 2013. Boy, did I have to, and that's not that long ago, I had to really take a minute to remember Donnie Murphy, ladies and gentlemen. Old Donnie Murphy, he was a baseball player. It just feels like that's a guy you should sing an Irish song for. So Donnie Murphy, former infielder, he was well into his career by the time he did that with the Cubs. I believe old Donnie Murphy is coaching somewhere still. In 1999, another guy that I had to think about for a second before we get to two guys that I definitely remember that are of consequence for the Chicago Cubs organization. But Shane Andrews did it in 1999. In the year 1996, 4 home runs in his first 8 games. It's too bad that Brant Brown is known for dropping a ball. Oh, no. Oh, yes. Yes, he did. But Brant Brown, that's the whole thing about Brant Brown. I mean, he's one of those Cubs that goes down in that special place that we don't like to talk about, but because he dropped the ball in the outfield and Ron Santo lost his mind. Understandably, that's why he was beloved like he was and is, but that's the whole thing. Like, Brant Brown, he was a pretty good outfielder and he had a pretty sweet lefty swing as well. I liked Brant Brown. Like, that, my memory of him is liking the player. Huge, huge hiccup, huge problem with huge consequences with that drop ball. But love Brant Brown. Another guy that I love. Oh man, we're getting into my early consciousness of sports when we go to our next guy. In 1983, the Cub with 4 home runs in his first 8 games. I think I remember this. It was Carmelo Martinez. Oh, man, did I love Carmelo Martinez. I loved young Carmelo Martinez. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, I think he was a first-round pick of the Cubs? Man, I don't remember exactly, but I love Carmelo Martinez. The other three guys, and these guys predated me, but must respect, right? 1953, Ralph Kiner, that's the way he started off his Cubs career. 4 home runs in his first 8 games. In 1941, right around WW2, Babe Dahlgren. Don't know Babe Dahlgren, but Babe Dahlgren did it. And then Chuck Klein in 1934. Not Klein Schmidt, Chuck Klein. But Babe Dahlgren before him, who actually is related to Drew Dahlman, Bears center. No, I'm kidding. Just because their names sort of sound alike. Babe Dahlgren, spelled backwards, is Drew Dahlman. Sometimes you have to see the way my brain works, and that is it. So there it is. There's the list of 4 home runs in their first 8 games for the Chicago Cubs. Kyle Tucker has done it, and thank God that he did it just to get the press. I thought we're going to head into a season where Kyle Tucker was going to be good, but I thought for sure he'd go like 2 for 25 with 1 home run right out of the gates, and just to throw people into fits, just because that's the way he was looking in spring training. Like, he just looked off in those exhibition games for the most part. Did Kyle Tucker? It just didn't look right. And then even in Japan, God, that seems long ago. In the far, far away land is when that happened. So, yeah, that it's important that he is doing what he is doing, and that the Cubs are off to a 5-4 start. The White Sox, with their loss today, they are at 2-4. As we talked about earlier, Sean Burke giving up the home runs, and they're starters for the most part. For the most part, that they have been. Perez was really good, giving up going six innings, allowed zero runs. Davis Martin, six shutout innings on Sunday. So some of the things that we thought might look better than last year are starting to look better than last year in terms of some of these young pitchers getting an opportunity for the White Sox. Need to take a break. When we come back, we are going back to full Bears and bringing in Scott Bear from the Marquee Sports Network to talk about, you know what we'll start? Because I haven't done much talk about this. We'll talk about Kevin Warren and George McCaskey. The two big topics are the stadium, where's it going to be, what are they saying about it, what are the new developments, so we will get into that. And then I think the question about George McCaskey is, what will become of the Chicago Bears? Is it going anywhere other than the hands of the McCaskeys? So we will talk to Scott Bear about all those things. We'll also talk about what's going down with Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson. So obviously lots to discuss next about the Bears on The Score.